is the actual situation. Now we want to hear about your own project.
Okay, so we in Department 22 have been working a lot in the food sector and really working with mostly with businesses in the food sector, helping them do a little bit of future forecasting and strategy into where their businesses might be going and looking at the circular economy to offer some solutions for them. But we also have started last year, we began thinking about how what we could do ourselves directly using the skills we have in our team. What could we do that we think needs to be done? And we began building a company, it's called MORI, which stands for More Reuse, Less Waste. So that's our kind of spot line. And MORI is a plastic-free, it started out as a plastic-free grocery delivery service. And so we began to develop our own kind of packaging, and we began trying to build a system for making sure we knew where that packaging is at any point in time, where whether it's with a customer, whether it's in the washing station, or whether it's in the warehouse ready to be filled. And as part of that process, we did a lot of customer discovery work. So thinking about who our customers might be, who might be interested in using our service, and trying to identify how we connect with those people. And also understanding the state of the market and the size of the market. So all of that has been part of this big journey that we've been on to see if there are any opportunities directly for ourselves in this food packaging, plastic-free packaging in the food sector. We're now thinking about how we can expand that and help other businesses utilize some of these things that we've developed. So how can they utilize our return tracking system, for example? And this has been really occupying quite a lot of our time, alongside some of the other work that's still going on in the background with companies. This has been occupying us, you know, quite heavily, and it's been a very interesting journey to be on. I don't know if, Tommy, you want to talk about some of the other work we've been doing as well.
Well, I guess another one to mention is that the food industry involves many different sectors, but the packaging is one of the main things that we've been trying to impact on. And that's what MORI really is addressing. But we've got another project that we are looking at that's developing a new material. It's a biocompostable material. And it's being specifically used to try and eliminate expanded polystyrene from the fish industry. So when you order fish online, it arrives in a white polystyrene box, and it's excellent for keeping the temperature cool. And we're working on developing a new material and a new packaging format that can deliver these cool, cold, frozen fish, but remove the expanded polystyrene element, because that's the worst environmental product that we could be packaging in. But however, it is the cheapest and the most thermally insulative, so we understand why it gets used, but we need to demonstrate that there are many more viable options out there that can replace a terrible, you know, unrecyclable material like that one, or rather it isn't being recycled. That's part of the problem, but that's one of the interesting things. And our skill sets as Department 22, we always come at it from the, you know, the human-centered design approach of trying to really understand how is this going to be impacted by the end user? Who are the customers involved? Who are the stakeholders? And what are their needs and requirements? And bringing them right into the center of the design brief so that they're not forgotten, so we don't just present a solution and realize quite quickly that it's not going to work because of these reasons. So we really try and go to the end user, to the customers. And Claire mentioned a lot of the customer discovery work that we were doing is really on board with, you know, it involves literally us going in, standing in shops and speaking to customers and, you know, crafting surveys and phone conversations and extracting insights from them that potentially they don't necessarily say, but it's observing what they actually do. Because we all know that, you know, maybe 83% of people say they are impact, you know, they care about plastic waste, but they may not all of them change their behavior when they go to the shop. And so our job as design kind of experts is to understand what people do and what they say they will do. And that's where the kind of heart of the new innovation lies, is understanding what trend is coming next.
I suppose we could mention a couple of other things that we've been involved in the last year or so. One of which was to do with food waste, which has always been a topic very close to my own heart. And this is a project which involves how to set up a system of micro anaerobic digesters, so small composting facilities where you can also recover energy. But these are all urban based, and through the production of energy and the byproducts from that composting system, there was also a facility for food growing in the hydroponic system. So that was a very interesting project. And we also have done a research project all about mushrooms, which is also a fascinating area. And like all of these things, when you take a deep dive into something which seems like quite a superficial issue or topic, you learn an enormous amount about the environmental potential of the topic you're exploring. So, you know, mycelium and fungi is a massively growing topic for addressing some very key environmental issues, and is being used in some very exciting ways. And this new infrastructure that we've been helping to design, could represent a whole new way of looking at our waste flows within cities. So yeah, so we've been doing some quite interesting research, I think, in the last year or so.
Talking about the triangle you mentioned before, do you also work with governments?
We have worked with government in the past. I have done several projects myself, which have been government funded, a lot of which have been looking at behavior change. Currently, we're not working with government. We find most of our work comes through businesses, mostly larger businesses. So no, but government legislation always has to be, you know, in our minds, because it will affect how our clients will have to behave in the future. So although we're not working directly with government right now, it's government activity is quite important.
Do you think it's necessary to educate consumers, or do you do that activities also?
Do we think it's necessary to educate consumers? I think that consumers need to be educated all the time, probably. You always need to have a little bit more and a little bit more information that you're pushing towards them. But I don't think I think it's very hard to start something new and have to educate a customer from zero. So I think you have to build on those consumers that are already interested and then bring others along as time goes by.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. The education piece is a really sticky one, because obviously we'd love to everyone to understand the world as we see it, but we know that is quite far down. That's out of scope of a lot of projects when it comes to, you know, not only designing the system, but you've then got to educate people. That always is a secondary element, and it's always seen, and it's often kept out of the system boundary of what is in the project and what's not in the project. And if you're educating people, that's good if it happens, but that's not the core driver often.
Yeah. So maybe let's talk a little about our coming program, right, in Japan for Japanese people. Tell us a little about the goal of the program. What do you want to execute in the program, and what do you expect from the participants?
So we're finding now that there's a much higher level of knowledge in the participants of these workshops than there was maybe even 2 years ago. The participants are more aware and have a lot more expertise in circular economy. So we see that our goal is always that of spreading the message of circular economy to people in business that will be then able to take those messages and push them forwards within their own industries. But we want to give as much support as possible so businesses can really try to make that shift. And we want to be able to inspire the participants, to encourage them to understand that there is another way of approaching a classical business problem that many of them already very firmly on the ladder, so they already know that, but they maybe need a little bit of help with understanding how to do that. So we hope that through the tools that we are able to share, we're giving participants some extra weapons, if you like, to really go about thinking about circular economy in their daily work.
And talking about Japan, we'd like to know more about your ideas about when COVID-19 is finished, maybe you can do more, something more in Japan, right? So do you have any ideas of, do you have any plan to do something in Japan?
Well, we were originally hoping to come to Japan, and it would be really nice to be able to come and run workshops live instead of doing them online, because it's always a very different experience when you're in the same room as your participants. But actually then the online workshops have been really quite successful, and we've seen some really great outcomes from those workshops. So, you know, we'd like to continue working with Japanese companies in any way possible. We feel that, you know, Japan has always been at the forefront of technology and innovation for so many years, and it has a very strong manufacturing sector. So really, from a cultural perspective, we do think that Japan is the potential to be a world leader in circular economy change. Also, Japan is quite an interesting and very different kind of society than we have in Britain. I suppose you could think of Japan as a collective society, people kind of working together and behaving for the greater good. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's the feeling that we have, that Japanese culture and society is much more collaborative and more of a collective. Mm-hmm. So if you put all these things together, I think it makes sense that Japan is in perfect position to be a world leader in circular economy, and that there are so many businesses that could help find those new mechanisms of creating wealth and value while reducing overall consumption of materials. Just building on traditional systems and cultural practices.
Do you have any business cases? In Japan?
So there are some, we've worked with several companies in Japan, and there are lots of well-established companies that seem to be really taking the circular economy quite seriously. I mean, we know about some, for example, IBM or Hitachi that we've worked with, Mori Building, Toshiba. They're all, for example, investing in their personnel to accelerate the uptake of new thinking in the circular economy. So they're training their staff basically to really prepare them to be able to equip them for a circular change, which is really fantastic. I mean, through Department 22, a lot of what we do is about helping companies create those future visions. And I think it's all about looking at different time horizons. So big companies, they have to keep on doing what they're doing because this is how they are generating their revenue. So they need to have a very short-term view where they can see where the easy, quick wins are. But at the same time, we need to be able to give them help changing the vision for the future, maybe a very small shift in what their vision is, but their very long-term vision has to change significantly. And the bit in the middle is this medium-term, is how do you get from where you are now to where this new business vision is without disrupting your current revenue and business. And I think that, you know, we can see in Japan that companies are really well placed to start taking those journeys.
The other thing to add for there is that we feel that Japanese companies and the culture, there's a big appetite for change. And I think that's one of the things that we are quite envious of in many ways, because every company, individual, we all as individuals have different appetites and capacity for what we can really influence and change. But the appetite for change is a word that we try and use in the workshops that really symbolizes what the circular economy is trying to do, is understand how much are you willing to kind of explore into going into the new territory and taking on new ideas. And we think that Japanese culture is really well placed to do that.
I suppose Yu-san have more questions about Japan, right?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of a question, but maybe talking about Japanese culture. So do you have I heard sometime in the context of circular economy, the Japan used to have these reuse culture or in Edo period or in the very early 18th century, 19th century. But these are all bottom-up approach where people just do it because they need to do that. But nowadays it becomes lots of companies, lots of things happening, and then we have access to a lot of things in Japan. But all the circular economy movements are gradually happening from these large companies in Japan. And as a consumer, I feel we are not really ready for this change yet. So this is my personal the opinion to the Japanese condition. But how do you see these Japan's condition right now? And what do you expect for Japanese way of circular economy in the future?
I think that several things are happening in parallel. Businesses are gearing up for the circular economy. Consumers are becoming more aware of their own responsibility and the responsibility of businesses that they subscribe to do things differently. And so there is this ongoing kind of progress between these two sides. And I do believe that if businesses are able to offer customers what they need, people don't need a light bulb, they need light. Yep. So I think once companies are understanding how they can provide people with what they need without necessarily providing them with a physical thing that they have to own, people don't really mind whether they own their light bulb. People have no pride in owning a particular light bulb. They just want the light or different kinds of light. So there are ready examples. Philips, for example, is already looking at ways of providing light. They're starting that journey with corporate clients, so business to business as a starting point, because it's much easier for them to test out these new systems with corporate clients where they can reach the numbers. But those activities are going to filter down to the general public. And I don't know what the startup world looks like in Japan, but I really suspect that like here in Japan, there is enormous amount of groundswell from new businesses that are trying to do things differently. And those are the ones that will connect first with consumers. And consumers will, jump on those new systems when they find them more convenient, maybe better value, maybe they save money, when they find them more fun, they find them more groovy because they're well designed, or there's a good interface with a web platform. Those are the things which will bring consumers on board, probably more than the good or the benefit that they will bring to the planet, but just because they make consumers' life easier and cheaper and more fun. It will happen, but it has to sort of happen a little bit at a time, step by step, between consumers and industry and business.
and to add to that, there's also, just because it's a difficult question to answer, but there's an element of, what do customers or consumers or the public have to do to engage with circular economy initiative or system? And there's three different levels. They can either do, you either can rely on a customer to do a lot. They have to go back to the store and bring their packaging back to the store, for example. They might have to do a little, which is they might have to organize a phone or arrange a collection. Or they do nothing. That's the third option, that the customer does nothing differently from what they're doing, and the circular economy gets dealt with by the brands and by the businesses to kind of handle that. But I think in the UK, businesses are always looking at that. In order to make it happen, they have to the customer has to do something. Whereas I think in the future, businesses are really trying to work on the fact that customers won't have to do anything too different because they can handle the additional work that might be perceived to be required to make a system work. And we also know that, I mean, there's other key sort of factors that we would compare when we're comparing maybe the UK to Japan. And one of the things that is quite well known is that, you know, our return recycling rates in the UK are notoriously low. Whereas in Japan, I think they're notoriously high. It's because you've got a collected, comparatively to the UK, your collection infrastructure is really good. And we would always cite that as being a really good benchmark for saying you've got all existing systems in place and the behavior that we are trying to educate people on why we need to recycle. Whereas something like that in Japan is already seen to be so much higher that there can be, we can really, you know, work with that. And so you've got a big head start on us in many ways.
Ah, that's quite interesting to hear about this, because we are like most of us maybe unconsciously doing these things. So even for us, couldn't really realize we are doing something sustainable and natural.
Yeah, we didn't know that. Right. So lastly, do you have any message for Japanese people in general? What, do you have anything that you didn't say?
To Japanese people in general. I tell you what my message is, Sayuri. I have never had as much fun and interest and excitement as since I've been working on circular economy projects. That this is an exciting time to be a designer. This is an exciting time to be bringing about change. And we, you know, we would love to bring you along on this journey with us, because it is the future. And the future can be really exciting. So we hope that the Japan will be a big player and help other countries in the world, you know, learn some lessons from what is possible.
Yeah, and I would say my message is that a reminder that it's a fact that 80% of impact is determined during the design phase of a product or a system. And that's why as people working in the design space has the biggest impact to make the biggest change, because this is where decisions are made and we've got the ability to really change what's happening out there.
Lovely way to finish.
Lovely. Thank you very much. So thank you very much for this opportunity, and I hope many Japanese people will enjoy our conversation. So thank you very much, and see you again soon.
See you soon. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us again.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So thank you very much. So I will stop recording.
Yep.